The Hyundai Tucson comes with America's best warranty, good for 10 years or 100,000 miles. The Hyundai Tucson with America's best warranty. It's your journey. Test drive the Tucson at your nearest Hyundai dealer or learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. America's best warranty claims based on total package of warranty programs, including a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. See dealer for limited warranty details.
If you stay here and listen, your life will never be the same. 'Cause we're talking with T-Bird now. And this T-Bird you cannot change.
She's back, talking with T-Bird. Season 4 is here, and we are back with the lady who hunts down the survivors that you want to hear from. Here she is. It's Teresa T-Bird Cooper.
Rob, season 4! Are you believing it? I am super excited about that.
Drop the 4. Keep the 4. It's season 4 of Talking with T-Bird. And so we are back and ready to go. And we've got a really, really good one, because from season 4, we're going to be talking with survivor and much more, Tammy Leitner.
Tammy Leitner.
Pronunciation correct. And of course, she is a Amazon number one best-selling author of a brand new true crime novel. It is called Don't Say a Thing, A Predator, A Pursuit, and The Woman Who Persevered, from Tamara Leitner. And as of recording time, number one bestseller in biographies and memoirs. How about that?
That's so impressive. And
look at old Tammy.
Yeah. And anybody that loves true crime, which I think are lots and lots of people now, you're
number
gonna find
one
Tammy
in memoirs in the Kindle store.
You're going to find her really interesting.
Yeah.
She's got great stories about stuff she's done, her investigative journalism in the past. And she is a delight. So, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
You're in for a treat.
You're in
for
a treat. That's coming up here today. Of course, you can subscribe to Talking with T-Bird. Go to robinswebsite.com/T-Bird feed. T-Bird, it's been many months since our last Talking with T-Bird. What's been going on?
Well, Rob, I did want to talk to you about a few things.
Yes. Okay.
So, of course, the last season, season 44, was fantastic. And I was lucky and fortunate to get to meet, of the 5 remaining finalists, I met 4 of them at Ron Clark Academy. So, you know, it's fun when you meet them. You have a whole, when you're, as you're watching it play out, you just have a whole different feel. So the final 5, this cast was really, really a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I want to ask you about.
Yes.
Because I think you and I tweeted something. A little premature, I don't know, but as soon as Heidi said she was going to build fire,
yep.
I think you and I both, you know, and then she beat Carson, who I love Carson. Heidi's the only one out of the final 5 that I hadn't personally met. We both tweeted something like, and there's your winner. There it is, right there.
Well, it was a little bit different. I tweeted that Heidi just won Survivor 43.
43?
Yeah.
What do you mean, 43?
Well, that was the whole thing in Survivor 43, that they voted for Gabler because he made the fire. So I was making a little bit of a joke.
Oh, yours was a joke. Okay, well, I'm going to say mine was a joke, too, because it actually wasn't. I thought as soon as she did that, I'm like, that was a
A lot of people were like, you ruined the show. You ruined it for me. You spoiled me. I'm like, oh, no, I'm in.
Yeah, nobody said that to me because nobody takes
people
me serious.
People are nice to you. People are nice
no,
to you.
No, they don't take me serious, Rob, which was kind of a good thing, because I thought when she did that gutsy move, I'm like, and there it is right there. She's the winner. for sure. Yeah, hands down.
If it was in Survivor 43, she would have won.
Yeah, and she gets one vote, but what a gutsy move mm-hmm. that was.
Yes.
And so, you know, I love to see how
that's what
close,
you would do.
What I would have built fire.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I mean, again, like people were saying, because we're not out there with them, she needed that for her resume. She needed to come mm-hmm. in with that. And so when she did, I'm like, well, there it is right there. I told Glenn, like, she just won. But I mean, anyway, if she hadn't have done it, then everybody would have said, well, if she'd have built fire,
yep,
she'd have won.
That's what they say. That's
true. I would have said that.
Since
but now
when,
we know
right,
that's not the
right,
case.
Right. Moving goalposts.
Right, exactly. That's mm-hmm. not the case. So anyway, and then I saw where somebody was saying, where are the villains? We want the survivor
so yeah, some people will be saying
on
that.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So what do you think about that? I mean, you know, I love to see how this cast has bonded, and they really seem, even at the Ron Clark mm-hmm. Academy, are very, very close.
You
group.
Know what I, you know, what I say, T-Bird, I say that of all the things that people can complain about Survivor, the casting is not one of them. They cast great people, and they don't need to like edit everybody the same way, but the casting has never been better than it is right now. So I just think that that's a little bit, you know, of a crutch to lean on to say that, oh, I, you know, it's boring. There's too many nerds on the show. Like, stop it.
All right, let me ask you this. Don't even turn around and ask me this question, yeah. but I'm going to ask you. Of this group, who would you say was the villain?
Who is the villain? Danny.
Danny was the villain?
Yes.
And he wasn't really a villain, but okay.
Depends who you
ask. Danny. All right. So Rob, so you know that I like to do, you know, reach out to try to get people on Talking with T-Bird that people hadn't heard from or they yep. find interesting yep. the Survivor. So, you know, I have reached out to Sia and sent her publicist or her manager or whoever emails trying to get Sia.
Yeah.
And so the morning after Survivor, I woke up and I'm like, I need to tweet. I wonder who Sia is going to decide, you know, to pick for the Sia Award.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen anything you had done. I hadn't seen anything. I'm like, this is a good tweet. All of a sudden, I'm looking and you've got Sia on your podcast, yeah. a picture of her. I'm like, what the heck? He didn't even tell me he had Sia. He's got Sia. And then I had sent you a message. How can we get Sia? And then I looked and then I saw that. I'm like, oh, never mind. No wonder he didn't answer me back. He already got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I was curious. Did she reach out to you? She had to.
So that's, you know, Sia did not reach out to me directly to come on the podcast. So that was really by way of, I think she let CBS know what she wants to do. And CBS, surprised me and Carolyn when, Sia came on the podcast.
You didn't know Sia was coming on the podcast?
I did not. I was told that a special surprise person was coming on. You know how I love surprises, T-Bird.
I know how.
And a surprise person is coming in. And I was like, what is like Jam Jam going to like crash the podcast or something? And then little did I know, here's Sia.
Wow. Rob, would you have done anything any differently? Had known she was coming on, would you have, I mean, and by the way, listening to them talk together was very powerful.
It was very nice.
It was,
right?
It was, yeah. It was beautiful. It yes. was beautiful.
Yes.
But would you have done anything differently? Had you have known?
What would I have done differently? I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't
so.
Know. Any conversations or did it kind of catch you deer in the headlights where like, oh God, I should have said this or I should have said that.
I don't know. I don't really think so. You think of something?
Yeah, I can think of something. Hey, Sia, wow, this is quite a great surprise. How would you like to come up talking with T-Bird?
Okay, I guess so. I guess so. Really, the one thing I really kind of was wishing that I had said that I wish I had mentioned to Carolyn that Carolyn also, this is a little embarrassing, that money is from me and Sia. I don't know why she didn't say that, but... That's it's from the both of us. So, see, like my name was supposed to be on the card. Yeah,
that would be good. Okay, yeah.
All right. But
cute.
The offer is
that
out there to the universe for Sia. Larry David, Lin-Manuel Miranda, all invited for Talking with T-Bird season four. All right.
Yes.
Speaking of Talking with T-Bird season four, are you ready to get things started, T-Bird?
I am ready. Let's get this party started.
Okay. Let's bring in Tammy Leitner.
Our guest today, born in San Diego, California, is nothing short of impressive. Describing herself as super competitive, I would add brave, determined, and focused. She played on the fourth season of Survivor, Survivor Marquesa, at the age of 29 with an already strong resume. She has said, quote, "Competing on Survivor was a lot like being in jail," end quote. And she would know. This then investigative crime reporter in Mesa, Arizona, spent time, quote, "doing time behind bars with the criminals she wrote about." She added, quote, "In both cases, you can't leave. You're stuck with a bunch of people who you're not sure if they're lying or telling you the truth, and food is always an issue," end quote. Earning her bachelor's degree in English from the University of California and her master's degree in journalism from Boston University in Massachusetts, she has proved she'll do practically anything to get the story, including going into a burning building, going one-on-one with a trained attack dog, being a member of a NASCAR pit crew, and volunteering to be shot by a taser, only to name a few. She was honored with multiple awards as a crime reporter in Mesa, Arizona. She covered Nelson Mandela's Congressional Gold Medal Ceremony and Hillary Clinton's Senate win. She is a 12-time Emmy Award-winning broadcast and print investigative journalist. She has worked as a network correspondent, regularly reporting on the Today Show, NBC Nightly News, and MSNBC. In 2011, she won a Peabody Award for the documentary Toxic Secrets about the Agent Orange exposure to unsuspecting soldiers and Koreans in South Korea. She has competed in Ironman Arizona, swam from Alcatraz Island to San Francisco, and completed several triathlons. This disciplined training undoubtedly helped her save a drowning man, which again, she would be honored. Her book titled Don't Say a Thing, released June 1st, about a man who sexually assaulted as many as 100 women and victimized 3,000 others, is the work of a 20-year obsession, which dated back to 1999 when she awoke to an active crime outside her Arizona apartment. Her extensive research with the rapist, as well as interviews with many of the sexual assault survivors, forced her to face her own demons and the toxic relationship she suffered for many years. But before all the awards, honors, and recognitions, there was Survivor. She was a member of the popular Row 2-4. She was voted out on day 30, saying, quote, "Unfortunately, I took a lot of my journalism skills as a crime reporter out to the island. I didn't open myself up. I didn't show my emotions," end quote. But a surprise to no one, she was honored for yet another award, the prestigious Sue Hawk Award, for her speech, quote, "Hypocrites," to Vesepia and Aaliyah for using religion as deception and congratulating them for lying, manipulating, and deceiving better than she did. She said she learned from Survivor, quote, "It's okay to not be as tough always and okay to show emotions once in a while and let people in," end quote. I am honored to introduce the beautiful, intelligent, relentless, headstrong woman who has done more in her 50 years than most people do in their entire lifetime, Tammy Leitner.
Wow. Tammy.
Oh, boy. That was, we don't need to do an interview now. That
Should
was quite
T-Bird
the introduction. She just told my whole life story. My gosh.
Yes. That's what she does. She's an investigative journalist too, Tammy.
Wow. T-Bird. That was amazing.
Tammy, thank you. I actually left something out. I left that you're a woman of your word, because I reached out to you. I think you said over a year ago. It's been almost 3 years ago when I first reached out to you, and you said, I haven't done any Survivor interviews since Survivor, but if I ever do one, it will be with you and Rob. So Rob, she honored her word. Yeah. So thank you, Tammy.
Well, this is so cool. I'm so excited. I think that listeners are going to be also, because this is, of course, you know, you have, you know, of course, a background in classic Survivor, but then you've gone on to accomplish so much outside of Survivor. So this is really a treat to have you here, Tammy.
Well, thank you. And I adore both of you. Honestly, I mean, I have not talked about Survivor since I was on the show. So otherwise, I would not be doing this interview if I didn't respect both of you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. I know that T-Bird told us a lot about what you've been up to, but how are you doing?
I'm great. I really am. I mean, it's kind of nice to catch my breath after and change gears after, you know, doing what I was doing, working in news for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I for many years saw you on television and always smiled when I saw like all the dangerous places that you were going to and all the world events that you were reporting on. Where are you based out of now, Tammy?
I live in Santa Barbara now, somewhere that, you know, I have family here, somewhere that I never thought that I would be able to live, you know, as somebody who covered news. It just, this wasn't a market that I thought I would, you know, ever work in. But now that I don't work for a TV station and, mm-hmm. you know, you can still be an investigative journalist, especially after COVID these days, you can kind of work remotely anywhere. And so that's one of the wonderful things. I was able to move back to California, where I have not lived since I was 18 years old, and move back here and be closer to family.
Tammy, I was curious, you know, when you did Survivor, you were 29, and like after reading and looking at your past history, you were pretty impressive and really mature at 29.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think that I was focused. I knew what I wanted out of life. I was a journalist before I went on the show, a print journalist. And I didn't, you know, so many people that go on the show, they're looking to become something that they're not. You know, they want to become an actor or, you know, change careers. I really loved what I did, and I was very comfortable with who I was, and I wanted to stay true to that, and I wanted to stay in journalism, so I think that probably had something to do with it.
Why did you even apply for Survivor since you were well on your career path? What made you say, had you watched the first four seasons or three seasons?
I watched it off and on. The man I would later go on to marry, who became my husband, he was obsessed with the show. He loved it. And so we would watch it together. And, you know, I was always the girl who was playing outside with the boys. I was, you know, I grew up camping. I grew up playing every sport you can imagine. And so the idea of being on a competition, you know, and then also being out there and truly surviving. I mean, it was like Lord of the Flies. I mean, a book that I grew up loving. I mean, who doesn't want to go and try and survive on an island, you know, finding your own food, foraging for it, making fire, sleeping under the stars. Are you kidding me? That was like a dream come true for me, honestly. So yeah, no brainer.
Yeah. Tammy, do you know what season of Survivor they're up to now?
No, because I stopped watching after I did.
I would love to hear you guess.
Okay, let's guess. So I was on four, and that was, God, I was a kid. I was 29, so that was 20 plus years ago. So I don't know. What are we on? 25.
This was we just finished, Tammy, Survivor 44. So it's been exactly 40 seasons of Survivor since you played. And they took a year off for COVID.
Is it still as good as when we were all on it?
Depends who you ask, Tammy.
I'm asking you, Rob. Yeah.
And, I mean, there that like anything, there are things that are some things are better now, and many things are different now. So I think that most people would say that they have an appreciation and a nostalgia for the classic Survivor, even though in some ways it is technologically superior in terms of like what they're able to do, and the casting is, you know, far more diverse, and they get people that really know the game, and it's more complicated. But I think that people still have, you know, a soft spot for you and many of the other classic old school Survivor players.
This is my question for you, since I have not watched. Is it easier for them now? Because back when we were on it, no food, no fire, no water.
Depends who you ask again. This might blow your mind. It's actually 26 days now.
What? You're pulling my leg.
I'm not. It's 26
you
days.
You gotta be kidding me.
26 days. And they don't give them any food, but in some ways that they, they're in a, I mean, compared to the Marquesa where you were, I mean, this is really like a day at the beach in a lot of different ways.
Oh, come on. 26 days. My God, we might as well just hand them a bottle of champagne when they check.
You would have won, I think, if it was 26 days, right?
I lasted 30.
Yeah. So,
and Tammy, they actually do the finale out on the island, and they actually do give them champagne with pizza.
This is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
No Rosie O'Donnell, but that they, yeah, they do. But some of these things are were COVID innovations that they are adopting as, like in many industries, some of the COVID introductions have become a part of like the ongoing process now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Times have changed.
For sure.
And Tammy, I think a lot of people will say back in the old school, the game was more social, that the players got to know each other. It was a much more social game. And so I'm wondering, because you actually said that you thought your journalism skills kept you from opening up and showing your emotions with people, you might have just torn up, you know, the new school now. You might have just really rocked it.
I think that you might be right. I mean, back then, you know, I always had my wall up.
Yeah.
And so it just, and I did that in life too. I mean, I really did. And so I think that if I did it now, it probably would be a different game that I would play. And B, since you're saying the game has changed, maybe I would do better.
Mm-hmm. Also, Tammy, you said the reason which got you to apply was your then husband was a huge fan. Had he applied for it, or did he just talk you into it?
No, he had applied to, this is a funny story. He had applied to every season, and he asked me, he said, you should apply. We'll have a better chance of one of us getting on if we both apply. And I was,
Alliance. Okay, exactly.
So, but keep in mind, I was a crime reporter at a newspaper back then. And so I was really, 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 really private. I mean, so extremely private. And I didn't want my life being an open book. And I told him, I'm like, no way in hell. I do not want to go on, you know, and advertise what I'm doing to the entire world. And so he really had to talk me into applying. And so finally, he kind of wore me down. And it was literally the night before the videos had to be sent in. And he used to box. He was a semi-professional boxer, and he had taught me how to box. And so we had in our garage a gym. We had a heavy bag and a speed bag. And, you know, me being competitive, I'm like, all right, just take the little handy cam and turn it on me. And I just started boxing and hitting the heavy bag. And 10 seconds, that was it. He turned the camera on me. I started talking trash because that's what I did back then. And we sent it off and got a call. And that was it. And was history. I mean, and I got on and he didn't. And that was kind of how it went.
So you only applied the one time. That's
it? Oh, yeah. No, just the one time with my 15-second video.
When you went through the casting process, did you get a sense that you were like a instant yes, or did you feel like that it was down to the wire for you?
Well, when I went through the casting process in Phoenix at the TV station there, the person who did the casting, who, you know, we all talked to afterwards, and you know, she's like, oh yeah, we knew as soon as we interviewed you that mm-hmm. we were bringing you out to LA. But then what was interesting when they bring you out to LA and, you know, they seclude you in the hotel for 10 days or whatever it was, she told me, you know, how they put you into, you know, different cast types. She said, I was cast as the athletic, strong female. And it was between me and a woman who was a professional baseball player. And so they really weren't sure between the two of us. And so it came down to the wire, I guess, in the end. But I won out.
Tammy, after Survivor, that I, you know, went on to see you on television, but I don't know a lot about what you did in between the time that you played in Survivor and then when you are doing TV news reporting.
That was a very strange transition. So in order to go on Survivor, I quit my job at the newspaper. And I had always told myself I had a career plan. I was headed towards the New York Times. That was my goal that I had set for myself. And I said, okay, stay at each job 12 months to 24 months. And then you need to leave and get to a bigger newspaper to make it to the New York Times. So I had been at the newspaper in Mesa for, you know, 24 months. And so I told everybody that I was leaving to go write a book on the serial rapist, which is what my book is about now. And so it was very believable that I was going to do that. And I left, I went on Survivor. And my plan was when Survivor was over, then I would go and I would apply for a new newspaper job at a bigger newspaper. But instead of applying for a new newspaper job, I was getting all of these calls with these strange opportunities. Yes, there was Playboy. There was like, come to Celebrity Fight Night and fight Darva Conger. be a reporter at ET or Extra or whatever it was. Just stuff that it was flattering, but it wasn't me. And so then the CBS TV station in town offered me a job.
Yeah.
Like sight unseen. And I'm like, well, I don't have a desire to be a TV reporter and I don't know anything about it. I'm a newspaper reporter, you know? And they're like, it's the same thing. You just do it on TV. And so at that time, newspapers were kind of starting to become a dying breed. You could see the writing on the wall that this industry was hurting. And so I figured I'll try it, you know, I'll try it for a year and see what happens. I can always go back to newspapers. And that was how I transitioned into TV and investigative reporting.
Did you have a fascination, Tammy, with the true crime drama, since that's kind of the route you've taken? I mean, I know you've done a lot of other really important coverage.
When I went to grad school to Boston University, I had a professor who became my mentor, and she was a crime reporter at San Jose Mercury News and a bunch of other newspapers. And so she used to always tell me about the different criminals that she had interviewed. And she was the first person to interview Charles Manson in prison. And I remember I used to just sit there and listen to her cassette tapes with the interview with Charles Manson. And I found it fascinating because I always wondered what makes somebody do these things? Like, how could you murder somebody? What is going through your head as you're committing these crimes? And so it was interesting. It was the first time that I had really gotten inside a criminal's mind, and listening to that, I was intrigued. And that was kind of what set me on the path as, you know, becoming a criminal reporter and heading off in that direction.
You know, Tammy, it must have been so interesting over the course of your career to have started covering being a crime reporter, and then, you know, having this very unique background. And then, you know, in the last, say, 10 years or so, the true crime genre has really exploded in terms of so much people and so many, you know, creators in the space. Has that opened things up for you, or has that made things more difficult for you?
I think that as my career progressed, I started covering not only crime. I mean, investigative reporting is, you know, it's a wide genre. Yes, a lot of it is crime, but it also encompasses other things. So I think there was plenty of stories out there. It is interesting. I mean, with such a fascination with crime, no, there's enough crimes out there that you will never have a shortage of crimes to report. And I mean, I really just think it's lit a fire and interest. If you look at how many podcasts there are right now dedicated to true crime, it's just amazing. Will this be cyclical? And, you know, eventually people will lose interest and then it will come back. Possibly that happens.
Could there be less crimes one day, do you think, because there are so many people investigating the crimes?
No. We would need more law enforcement. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. You're always going to have criminals, mm-hmm. but we need more law enforcement investigating them.
Okay.
Tammy, do you have a favorite other than you, because you are a crime writer now, I mean, with your book coming out right now, but do you have a favorite crime writer about, you know, Truman Capote, Ann Rule, I mean, James Patterson, there's Norman Mailer. There's so many awesome ones through the years. Do you have any that you gravitate towards?
You know, my guilty pleasure is Patricia Cornwell. She writes fiction, but she, all of her research is, you know, she researches and researches and researches. She is an incredible author. And so while her stories are fiction, it's all based on reality. It's an incredible escape for me. I love it.
Has there been any true crime stories what has fascinated you the most? And obviously the one you worked on for 20 years, but are there any through the years that has really, that you'd say is at the top of what's intrigued you the most?
You know, the Golden State Killer was a long, long run. And I think what was so fascinating about that case was that he just got away with it, and he would just disappear. And then he would surface again in another city, like completely not even close to where the other crimes had been committed. And they just didn't connect them. And so the ability to dip in and dip out and just go undetected was amazing for such a long period of time.
Do you think that all the coverage on the true crime and all the forensics, and do you think bad people are learning more what not to do? Is it encouraging? I mean,
you know, no. I mean, they're going to learn this regardless. And I mean, if I can just deviate for a moment. So the suspect in my book, you know, I spent over a year corresponding with him in prison. And, you know, I wanted to get some type of insight into why he committed these assaults that he committed. And, you know, he told me he did this for 20 years, and he told me that he honed his craft. And to him, that's what it was. It was a craft. And he learned from his mistakes. And so I think that's like so many criminals. I mean, whether they consider it a job or whether they consider it, you know, their inability to stay alive and not get caught, they practice and they do it over and over, whether you're breaking into homes or robbing banks or, you know, whatever that crime is, they do it and they do it and they do it and they hone it and tweak it each time so they can continue getting away with it.
Tammy, the case that's in your book that T-Bird mentioned, that there's a personal nature to this case. Is that right? That you first became aware of this case as it was going on, that one of the victims was near where you were living?
Yeah. So what happened was I had moved to Scottsdale, Arizona with my boyfriend at the time, the man who would later become my husband. And I got up one morning, it was, you know, 5:30 in the morning, early to take the dog out. And I opened the front door and I couldn't leave. there was crime scene tape stretched across my front door. And it stretched from my door to my neighbor's door. And so I kind of poked my head under and I could see her. Her door was open and I looked inside her apartment and it was, you know, askew, but not terribly askew. And she wasn't in there. And I thought to myself, this is not a robbery. This is not typical. This is something more than that. And so I kind of poked my head back under and waited in my doorway for the two police officers down the hall to come and talk to me. And they, you know, asked me questions. Did you hear anything last night? See anybody strange? And I didn't. I fell asleep literally watching Dateline. And so they told me, you know, your neighbor's been assaulted. And what they didn't tell me, but what had happened was she had been raped. And it was a brutal, awful sexual assault. You know, the person had spent quite a while in her apartment. He had climbed past the stairs, past our bedroom. And, you know, my dog didn't hear her hear anything, didn't bark, nothing like that. And so that day I went to the newspaper and I had to report on it. I wrote a 10-inch story. You know, sexual assaults in Scottsdale, especially stranger assaults, that's what you call them when you don't know the person. It's not like a date rape or something like that. They're very rare, especially back in the 90s. It was very rare. So Scottsdale's a very nice upscale community, not a lot of crimes like this. So I wrote about it. I came home that night, 6 o'clock, and the detectives were still out there, still investigating the crime, which is a little unusual for it to be going on all day. And I walked by a couple of detectives and I heard them talking and they said, yeah, she didn't see his face. It was covered with a mask. All she saw was that he had a tattoo and a black Velcro watch. And so I walked past them and opened my apartment door. And there in the middle of my living room was a black Velcro watch.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And that was how I got involved in the case.
How did that Velcro watch get there?
Well, if I tell you that, then you won't read the book, will you, T-Bird?
That's absolutely right. So, Tammy, when you did, that's great. When you did your extensive interviews with the gentleman, well, excuse me, I didn't mean to call him a gentleman, with the man that's now in prison, did he remember that attack? Did he remember?
Oh, yeah.
You told him how you were involved and how you got involved.
Well, I wrote him numerous letters over the 20 years that he was in prison and asked him for interviews. And he, you know, sometimes he would write me back and say no. Other times he would write me back and tell me to leave him alone, you know? And so finally I just figured when I sat down to write this book a couple years ago, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to be very open with him and I'm going to write him a really personal letter. I'm going to tell him what this case has done to me over the last 20 years, and that I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about him. And I want to understand why he did this, because it affected so many lives, not only the survivors, not only my next door neighbor, but my own life. And, you know, this has been a very personal obsession for me. And so that letter apparently struck a chord with him, because he wrote me back and he said, okay, I'll talk to you. And so that was the beginning of our more than a year-long correspondence. We've exchanged, I don't know, 90 letters.
Was that the start, beginning of his crime spree, or had he started years before that?
No, years before that.
Did it ever escalate that you know of into murder? Because I would think at some point it would have.
You know, initially when I started reporting these crimes, I thought that there might have been a murder. And the detectives thought the exact same thing. That was their biggest fear, that there was a body somewhere buried, because he had traversed the United States multiple times. And he told the detectives that he was getting very close to killing somebody. That was his pinnacle that he was worried he was going to reach. He swears to this day he never killed anybody, we'll never know for sure.
Tammy, is he serving a life sentence or is he due to get out at some point?
No, he did not get sentenced to life. He has a sentence he's serving in Florida. And then if he's ever released, he will be extradited to Arizona, where he has a sentence there awaiting him. And then, I mean, he still has charges in Arizona or in California, excuse me, which he has not been sentenced for. Mm-hmm.
Tammy, this may sound like a crazy question. How do you feel about him from when you started to all the investigative work you've done on him, the letters? Has there been a personal bond that, how do you feel about him?
Interesting question. It's hard not to form some type of opinion about somebody when you're, you know, writing and talking and interviewing. You know, I'll tell you a story and then I'll answer that question. He's in a maximum security prison where many of the inmates are on death row. He is not on death row, but many of them are. And so they do not have access to computers that let them go on the internet. They can make phone calls to people and they can send emails from their tablet, but they don't have access to the internet. And so on my birthday, I got an email from him that said happy birthday, and it had a picture of a dog with sunglasses and a birthday card. And I wondered how he knew it was my birthday. It was strange and a little unnerving. And so you ask me how I feel about him. I think that he is manipulative and conniving and not remorseful at all for his crimes. I think the only thing he is remorseful about is the fact that he is locked up and unable to do this anymore.
Do you think he would do it?
Yes.
Again, once he gets out?
Yes.
If he gets out?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
He describes this as comparable to having an alcohol or drug addiction. Mm-hmm. Something that is very difficult to kick and that he tried over and over and over, he says, to stop over the years and wasn't able to.
And I know you've talked to a lot of people that are serving sentences. That do you find that in your experience that this is typical or this is atypical with this person?
No, there are plenty of people that are remorseful for their crimes, for the things that they have done. I mean, rehabilitation is possible. I do believe that rehabilitation in prison in certain circumstances can happen. With him, multiple rapes, multiple sexual assaults, no.
And Tammy, let's talk about, you know, the survivors. I can't even begin to imagine how their lives have been changed forever. I know you said that or told us that it's been at least 100 women, but victimized 3,000 others, including men. So what was he do? I know with women, how was he victimizing men?
So he was a master thief. He learned how to pick locks at a very young age, and he would break into homes. He could break into a home, steal your wallet, and get out before you even realized anybody had been in your house, before the dogs even started barking. I mean, he was a master thief, and he honed this craft over the years. And so he took on many identities over the years. And so he would steal wallets. He would take on identities. He would steal credit cards. He would steal cash. And so the 3,000 people that he victimized, this is men, women, all the different jewelry, cash, identities that he stole.
So, Tammy, you mentioned earlier about, you know, watching Dateline and 48 Hours and 2020. Has there been a Dateline or something similar to that that he's done? Because if not, this is it. This is your baby.
No. You know, what's interesting is there was not any national coverage of this case back when I was covering it. It was all local Arizona coverage. And America's Most Wanted started having interest in this. The local Arizona cops called America's Most Wanted and said, we need some help with this because we believe he's gone underground. Mm-hmm. And they were set to air an episode on him, which would have been the only national coverage ever, when he ended up getting caught.
Tammy, okay. Had you done any reporting on him besides the initial case in the real time? Like, yeah, as the events were going on.
Yeah. So I covered, after he assaulted my neighbor, there was 9 months that he was on the run, mm-hmm, before he was caught. And so those entire 9 months, I was covering it, multiple stories.
And you had mentioned when you reached out to him, sometimes he told you, no, leave it alone. So, mm-hmm, I'm curious, how many times were you told by your boss or somebody else, let it go, Tammy, let this story go? Any story.
Oh, any story.
That you wanted to cover.
That was the hard thing about, you know, working in a newsroom. I mean, a lot of times I got to choose my own stories. That was the great thing about being an investigative journalist, because I wasn't confined to the daily news cycle. You typically get to choose stories and work on them and spend months investigating things, which was why I loved being an investigative journalist and not being a general assignment reporter. So I didn't find that happening a lot where they told me no. And also they knew me. I was kind of like a dog with a bone. If they said no, I was going to come back to them the next week, 2 weeks later, a month later, and be like, I found a new angle. Come on.
Did you ever feel like you were in danger covering any story? Opening up things that didn't need to be uncovered.
Well, I mean, the stories that I took on, there was always a reason that I did it. But yeah, I mean, we've had security brought into the station. We've had, you know, all sorts of threats, and my team and I. And so, yes, there was always, we've been into Mexico. We've investigated cartels. We've, you know, chased drug smugglers through the desert. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's not safe, but foreign correspondents, they go into war zones. I mean, it's kind of goes with the territory.
I was listening to your top six secrets, and I thought, I got a feeling she had to have been in some danger with that one. Just, you know, watching it, listening to it. And that was an amazing job you did on that, by the way.
Can you explain what is toxic secrets?
So back when I was working in Arizona, we were trying to figure out what our next big story was. And my investigative producer, he's like, you know, this guy's been calling me a lot. And he tells me he was a vet and that he buried Agent Orange in South Korea. He's like, it sounds crazy, right? He's like, he's called me like six times. And I'm like, oh, we need to go talk to him. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up driving out to the middle of the desert, Apache Junction. It was really rural back then. And the guy was a stereotypical big, rides a Harley, like comes out of this trailer in the middle of the desert, slams open the door. We haven't even turned the engine off to the car. And he's like, leave your phones in the car. No recording devices, no cameras. And I'm just like, what the hell? And so we go into his trailer and we sit there with him for 2 hours, no air conditioning, the middle of, you know, summer in Arizona. And he proceeds to tell us this story about how in the 1970s, he was stationed at Camp Carroll in South Korea, and he was ordered with his platoon to bury Agent Orange. And it was a U.S. military base in South Korea. And he's been having health issues. Every single guy that he served with had health issues. And he's never been able to get over the guilt of what happened, because he's certain that the people who lived there around the military base had to have had some adverse health effects because all of them were suffering. And so that began a year-long investigation, and actually getting the military to U.S. government to admit what they had done. And it was pretty amazing. We discovered, you know, we ended up going to South Korea and we found, you know, children that had leukemia, children that had died. It was awful, awful, the things that we discovered. And, you know, the military, the government, they denied it for months and months. And then eventually they would, you know, okay, yes, we did do this. And then we'd start discovering more documents. Okay, well, yes, we did that, but not this. And so it was just, it's like an onion. You peel off one layer and then another layer until you get to the middle and you discovered what you were looking for.
Wow.
I mean, Tammy, I mean, the work you've done is, it's amazing. It's necessary. It's fascinating. And jumping back over to Survivor, I know that Marquesa was supposed to be filmed in Jordan, but because of the September 11 attacks, that was changed. So because of the political situation in the Middle East. So here's a story, the kind of stories you cover anyway, mm-hmm. happening with Survivor. So, you know, I'm just curious, you had done another fascinating story on the Arizona connection on the terrorist attacks. So, you know, tell me about that story that you had done as far as the pilots that had trained there, I believe in Mesa. Is that right?
Yeah, God, I forgot about that. It was when 9/11 happened and I was working in Arizona. And I remember the only thing, like, you know, when a story breaks, a journalist wants to be there at ground zero covering the story. It's just a natural instinct. You want to go where the story is. But if you remember, like, there was no flights, everything was canceled, everything was, you know, mm-hmm. Shut down. You couldn't get there unless you drove. And my newspaper was not about to lose me for, you know, a week to drive to New York City. And so I remember we discovered that some of the terrorists that were on that plane had trained in Arizona, had learned to fly there. And so that became our part, you know, our contribution to the story. We went and we found where they lived, where they trained, how they did it, and, you know, how this all went down. So,
wow.
That was a long time ago. Wow. Mm-hmm. You, T-Bird, you really
T-Bird's an investigative journalist herself.
Jeez.
Tammy, what is your proudest accomplishment or your biggest contribution or up to now? Because I know we're not finished with you. I know there's a lot more of you that's going to happen. What's your proudest accomplishment?
Oh, gosh. You know, I have to be honest with you guys. Writing this book, it's something that, you know, when I started it 20 years ago, it was a crime story. It was a crime book. And I wrote 200 pages and then I couldn't finish it. And so I packed all my research up into boxes. And every time I moved, I brought those boxes with me, you know, from Arizona to New York, to Chicago, to Miami, to New York, to California. And I thought to myself, God, someday I have to finish this book. But there was something missing. I couldn't figure out what it was. And then when I left the network. When I left NBC, I decided to do some work on myself. And I needed to take a look at why I left Arizona and I ran from, you know, my relationships and why I had never been able to finish this book and why I needed to go internally to figure out what was going on. And it was through that work I did on myself that I was actually able to write this book. And it was a really personal journey. And so I think if I had to say my proudest accomplishment today was that I was able to go deep enough and be vulnerable enough and write this book in the hopes that it may help somebody else, somebody who's in a relationship that isn't healthy, and maybe they will realize that they're not alone, that there are other people that are in the same situation and that you can get out.
So the toxic relationship that I know you're referring to is your with your ex-husband now of 10 years. Mm-hmm. Do you want to give any information as far as, and I know toxic relationships vary from verbal to abuse. It's such a wide scope. Do you want to go into that at all for any of the listeners that might need to hear it?
Sure. So I was in a relationship for 15 years. And, you know, I think it's really hard when you're in something so deep to realize that parts of it may not be healthy. And I didn't talk to anybody about what was going on in my life. From the outside, it looked like I had a perfect life, a perfect marriage, a perfect relationship. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And if you don't open up and don't tell people, you know, nothing changes. And so I was embarrassed and humiliated to talk about what was going on. And part of me probably, I definitely felt responsible for his behavior. And so I stayed and I thought, you know, this is the way it should be. I can fix it. And I think that happens in a lot of relationships. Shame keeps people frozen in time. And you know what? Nobody should stay in a relationship that isn't healthy. And it took a lot for me to leave. And it, you know, it, this unhealthy relationship affected my entire family. And so when you're in something like this, you don't realize at the time that it affects not only you, but externally it affects your other relationships.
What was the catalyst? What was the one thing that finally happened that said, this is it, I'm out?
I was in San Diego for New Year's Eve because my husband told me he needed some space from me. And he promised to come and spend New Year's Eve with me. And after 18 hours of making up, you know, oh, the car's broken down. Oh, I'll be there. You know, oh, I got a flat tire. Finally, at midnight, he sent me an email saying, I'm not going to come. We'll have another New Year's Eve together. And something just didn't.
An email, Tammy?
Yeah, an email. Something didn't feel right. So I called up one of my colleagues, a very good friend, and I said, can you go to our house and just like see if he's there? Mm-hmm. And he had a key. So he went inside my house and it had been completely, every picture of me had been taken down, taken off the wall. The house had been completely like redone and wiped clean of any trace that I lived there.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was, a wake up call.
Yeah.
A tough one.
And Tammy, thanks for sharing that, because again, you know, abuse comes in so many different ways of abuse.
There was a reason why Survivor didn't want this guy, yeah, Tammy.
That's right.
Lynn Spielman knew even then.
Thank you, Rob.
Yes.
But Rob, Tammy, when you think of how strong Tammy is, not just, you know, physically and tough and her tenacity with anything, and that somebody like Tammy can go through this and stay in it for so long, you know, and that you're willing to share it now. So, Tammy, thank you. Thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on today. I hope that, you know, I truly hope that it does resonate with people out there, because it's a lonely place to be. And I don't want anybody else to ever feel as lonely as I felt. And so I do hope that it helps somebody.
All right. So, Tammy, I want to jump over to, because I know you've met some fascinating people along the way. So I mentioned that you had covered Hillary Clinton's Senate race, Mandela's ceremony award. And who is the most fascinating person that you have met along the way?
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's a tough one, T-Bird.
All right, Tammy, let me throw this in. Hey, Rob, yep. Remember when we talked to Jenna Maraska? Do you remember who Jenna is?
Yes, Tammy. I do. Uh-huh.
And by the way, when you said that they were trying to get you to wrestle and everything, I guess she could have wrestled Jenna, because Jenna went into that, didn't she, Rob? You and Jenna could have had a huge wrestling match.
Tammy doesn't need to wrestle anybody.
That's right. No, she didn't. Yeah. Did she really?
Yeah, she wrestled for a while.
Rob, I think it was a very short while. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, so listen to this, Tammy. She had met, you know, she dated Ethan Zahn. Ethan from Survivor Africa, my buddy, a lot of people's buddies. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they dated. So she met so many fascinating people. And when we talked to her, she told us all these people that she had met. Of all the people, she said the most fascinating for her was, do you remember this, Rob?
Yes, I do.
Bill Clinton was the most, she had known all these people she'd met, and he was the most fascinating. So since you covered Hillary Clinton's Senate race, did you meet Bill Clinton, and were you as fascinated with him as Jenna was?
Okay, so my interaction with Bill Clinton, it's not going where you guys think it's going. I can already tell where Rob thinks it's going.
Okay, well, that was only a pregnant pause of my interaction with Bill Clinton, ..
My interaction with Bill Clinton was after he was president. So Hurricane Maria, remember Hurricane Maria?
Was that in New Orleans?
It was in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Puerto Rico. Okay.
So Hurricane Maria had happened. I was in Puerto Rico for 20 plus days covering Hurricane Maria. And so after that happened, I would go back to the island, you know, once every couple months and do updates on what was happening there. Cause it, I mean, the island is still devastated, you know, it still has a hard time recovering from these natural disasters. And so during one of the trips back there, Bill Clinton came to the island he was meeting with the mayor of San Juan for something. And she was a firecracker. She was great. And so her and I had become friends, and she said, don't worry, I will get you some time with Bill Clinton so you can ask him what he thinks of, you know, our progress in the island recovering. And so, unfortunately, this is the way news happens. There was something scandalous going on with Mr. Clinton at the time. I can't remember what. Some woman had come forward, another allegation, something. I can't remember what it was, something. And so the producers at MSNBC said, we need you to ask President Clinton, former President Clinton, about this scandal that's going on right now. And I'm like, oh man, he's here like to talk about Puerto Rico, and you want me to like, you know, bombard him with this? It doesn't have anything to do with it, but that's the way it works. And so I remember he was doing like a walk and talk with the mayor, and the mayor sees me. She's like, Tammy, come here. And she goes, President Clinton, I want to introduce you to Tammy Leitner. She's one of the best reporters, da, 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 da. And I only got one question, and it was, you know, Mr. Clinton, I'm sorry, I need to ask you. And he looked at me and just shook his head and turned and walked off. Like, he was so disgusted with me for asking that. Mm-hmm. So there we go. That was my interaction with former President Clinton. Yeah, I was kind of embarrassed to have to ask him. Mm-hmm. I don't blame him.
All right, so who's the most fascinating person then? I don't think it's going to be Bill Clinton.
No, it's not. God, I don't know. There's been so many people. I can't, you know, the stars, they don't really do much for me. The famous people, I think the regular people are much more interesting, I have to be honest. I'll tell you about one interview that I did that was interesting. Not the most interesting. So when I was working in Arizona, they had discovered, so we used to go down to the border all the time. And so there was a big problem with traffickers, drug smugglers, you know, coming right across from Mexico into Arizona. And so they had just discovered a cartel cave. So up in the mountains, like you could see from Mexico into Arizona. So the cartels would use these caves on top of the mountains to guide drug shipments. So they would sit up there with their walkie-talkies and guide shipments of drugs from Mexico to Arizona. You could see all the way across the desert at night. Are you guys following what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the sheriffs had just discovered a cartel cave and it became a big story, blah, blah, blah. And so my team and I, oh no, it was just me and another guy. We decided to go up there and we're like, let's just go and see the cartel cave. Let's see what they look like. Let's do a first person account of like how you get up there, the view from the top, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And so we got up there and it was just starting to get to be nightfall. I mean, it was, we wanted to get, you know, real time, let's show them what it's like. And so we walk into the cartel cave, which is at the very top of the mountain. And lo and behold, there is a smuggler there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean, of all the times to actually find somebody there, I don't know if we surprised him more than he surprised us, but we're periodistas, which is journalists in Spanish.
Yeah.
And he had his hands down in his lap, which I'm assuming he had a gun down there, and he had his cans of food. He had his walkie-talkies, his sleeping bag. He was set up for, you know, a week's night of camping up there, guiding the drug shipments through the desert. But we couldn't believe that like 3 days prior, they had busted people and they were back up there. So we ended up doing an interview with him.
He talked to you?
Yeah, he talked to us.
I don't think the cartel likes that.
He kept his hands in his lap underneath something, I'm assuming on a gun. So that was the interview.
Okay. Was his face covered up? Did he cover up his face?
Nope. Oh. Went on camera.
Okay.
Well,
can't ask him any hard hitting questions like Bill Clinton.
You know, you can still ask hard hitting questions.
Tammy,
I would have been out of there.
No, come on. You track all the way up there and you happen to discover a possible smuggler. I'm going to ask him some questions. Come on, Rob.
So, Tammy, this might be the answer to this next question. What is the craziest thing you've done to get a story?
I've jumped out of a plane.
Mm-hmm.
I've hiked to pot farms. I chased somebody through a sewage tunnel underneath Mexico. I'm assuming it was a drug smuggler. I stayed overnight in jail multiple nights. I don't know. I mean, see, but those things don't seem crazy, T-Bird. They just seem like part of the job.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything you won't do to get a story?
No.
Ah, sweet. That's my girl. I knew the answer to that right there. Tammy, what is your greatest fear?
Snakes.
Yeah, I'm not big on snakes either. Mm-hmm. So. I get that.
Even coming from Arizona, that's the...
No. No.
You're more afraid
put
of them.
Me, yeah. Put me in a hole with snakes, and I guess I would not do that for a story. Nope.
Yeah. The drug cartel, no problem. Snake?
Nope.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Tammy, you've covered all types of stories. What sort of stuff are you working on now besides the book?
So I have a new idea for a book, and I am not going to tell you about it yet because I'm not ready to talk about it, but it's so completely different than this book. It's like the complete opposite end of the spectrum, and it's fun and it's lighthearted. And so I'm still kind of working through it, but yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
Tammy, do you keep a notepad beside your bed and wake? I know I've heard a lot of writers, they wake up in the middle of the night with these ideas and thoughts. Do you have that by the bed so you can wake up and jot down little ideas or things to remember?
I put it in my phone under notes. Okay. But I do journal. And so that kind of helps me also. Like in a handwritten journal. And that goes with me.
Okay. All right. So Tammy, let me jump over back over to Survivor. Well, the first thing I want to ask you about it, this is going to sound kind of crazy to me for me to ask you this, but I know you haven't done a lot of Survivor interviews, and with the things that you've done since Survivor, I can see you wouldn't want that. Not that that was going to overshadow anything. Are you embarrassed at times that you did Survivor being a reality show, considering what you've done since then?
Never. I have no regrets. I'm proud of what I did on Survivor, but I think it took me a little time to get to that point. I needed to be able to distance myself from Survivor in order to feel like I was still being taken seriously as a journalist. Does that make sense?
But so I've much never, sense. Yeah.
I've never been embarrassed or regretted. I loved Survivor. It was one of the coolest experiences and moments in time in my life.
Were you ever contacted to go back? I don't know that you would have, but were you contacted?
Yes.
For what seasons?
I don't know. I was working in Chicago at NBC at the time. And I don't know what season it was. I can't tell you. And I can't even tell you who was casting and who called me at the time, but they asked if I would be interested. And I remember saying like, this means I'd have to quit my job. I'm like, no, thank you. I'm flattered, but no. But I truly felt like once was, as much as I would love to go and compete again, just once was great for me.
Rob, you know what show Tammy would be great on? So Tammy, I got a feeling
you're probably not
all of them, but The Challenge.
The Challenge.
Yes. Wasn't that the one? Because she's so in shape and all that. Isn't that the one with so in shape?
I can see myself more on Bear Grylls show where you have to go out in the wilderness and like survive and do all sorts of nutty things. I don't know about The Challenge.
Yeah.
All right.
Tammy, have you been on stilts since you were on Survivor?
No. But I still have my torch here in the house.
You know, they've never done the stilts challenge ever again in the history of the show.
You know why, right?
Because nobody else could do it.
Because nobody could walk on the stilts. And here's a little off-camera moment. So I took the stilts when I saw that it was going to be a stilt challenge. I was like, oh my God, I've got this. And so I took the stilts to the other side of the island and practiced secretly, right? So nobody could see me. And then when it came time for the actual challenge to happen, I remember the producers coming over and I think they talked to Jeff and they said, look, nobody can walk on the stilts except for Tammy. How about we give them a little bit more time to practice? And I remember I went up to Jeff and I'm like, no way, this is BS. I said, the rules are the rules. You cannot give them more time to practice just because they can't do it. Too bad. And I remember I laid into him and he's like, all right, Tammy, all right, we'll go ahead and do it. And nobody could walk on it but me.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, let me have this one.
Okay.
Tammy, what is the one word adjective you would use to describe Jeff Probst?
Oh, cutie. Adorable.
Okay.
Adorable. Yes.
All right. Adorable.
And kind of hot.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's hot.
And hot. Okay.
Okay. Might get a retweet on this one now.
Tammy, of all the countries you visited, have you had any problems with any of the no-no bugs or any other bugs that really were a problem for you, like Marquesa?
No, that was the worst. The worst. But, you know, other people got, they had scars. Other people got eaten up worse than me.
I know Sarah did. Sarah really bad.
She was in bad shape.
And so the finals, I think you ended up voting for Vesepia. Any regrets? Because I think the vote of Vesepia won 4-3. Any regrets on giving Vesepia? You could have changed the outcome of this season. Any regrets?
I realize that. I have not thought about that once. Not once.
Well, let's think about it now. Any regrets that you didn't give the vote to Nalia because she tried to share her mint with you and you would have no part of it?
Ugh, God, shared mint. I can think of things I'd like better. Do I have a regret? I don't know. At the time, I was just so pissed off at both of them. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to give the money to either one of them.
Yeah.
And I think, still to this day, Kathy wins, deserves the money. Mm-hmm. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, why would you regret that's it?
That's good. Well, Rob, I don't know. I mean, I know I voted for Ethan, Tammy. No regrets at all. Never. Not once. But I've heard people that voted. Which is the one that the car salesman won, Rob?
Oh, Thailand.
Thailand. They voted for Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And after the fact, a lot of them regretted that vote. A couple of them that I know. Because he was so good at covering up who he was.
He turned out to be like a guy that Tammy would talk to for an article.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's extenuating circumstances.
All right. So, Tammy, Vesepia, of your season, Kathy's gotten to play again. And who else? Rob, I thought there was two from that season.
Did you know that? Do you remember Boston Rob, Tammy?
Yeah, of course. Yes. Rob and I, we've chatted a few times.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Do you know how many times he's played Survivor since?
Hasn't he made a career out of this?
he's been an embedded Survivor contestant. Yeah.
How many times?
Yes. Do you know?
No. 3, 4?
I think that is it. Has he played 5 and been out there 6 times?
Wow. More power to him. Mm-hmm. I love it. He made a career out of it. Good for him.
Yeah. What? 4, 8, 20, 22, 40. So he played 5 times. And then one season that they made a statue of him and he was like a coach.
That's amazing. Good for him. You know, he found his calling.
He did.
So, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong on this. So, Tammy, Rob got voted out on your season, like on the 21st day, I think. He did not make the jury. Would you have ever dreamed for being out there with him his 21 days that he would have been a Survivor superstar legend? Did you see it?
You know, his personality is charming and people just love him. So, yes, I can see him going on to be a Survivor legend because of his personality.
All right. Okay. And Vesepia's never played again. Now, they had a Winners at War, Tammy, which you may not know, was season 40. Is that right, Rob?
That was season 40, yes.
Where a lot of the winners came back. And Vesepia has never been back to play. A lot of people have. Would you have liked to see her play again? To see her play again? If you actually watched.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't matter who they brought back. She wouldn't have seen it.
Look, you know, if somebody really wants to play that much, sure. I hope their dreams come true. Yes.
All right. So, Tammy, we have a little message from you, Rob, from somebody that I think that
Okay, here we go. We have a queued up message. It's not from me, but I do. Yeah, but it's I do have the message.
He has it.
Okay.
Hey, Tan. It's your boy. Oh, man. Miss hearing from you and speaking with you. You know, you're my girl from another world. I'm glad you got a book coming out. I don't know if it's a tell-all, if it's a personal book, or if it's a crime reporting book, but either way, should be good, and I look forward to getting a signed copy soon. You're awesome and beautiful, as always. I love that we've had our personal time away from the show and the island to get to know one another and our families. I look forward to speaking with you soon. May God continue to bless you. And since you're in LA now, there's no reason why we can't have chicken and waffles. Y'all know that's my spot. So let me know when you're free doing your book tour. I love you. Godspeed. Shout out to Rob and T-Bird. Y'all some good people. Always appreciate you guys giving me the platform to do some good.
Okay, Sean Rector, there he is.
Oh, Sean. I love Sean. He's the best. You know, he is such a good guy, and he just tries to do good and help. Like all those young kids that he's helping at school. Oh, he's such a good guy. I really adore him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a great message.
Yeah.
Tammy, I know you guys... He thinks the world of you. He said he wishes that y'all had started out on the same tribe, that it would have really been a whole different game for y'all. But let me ask you about this. He actually did tell me that you had introduced him to the infamous Mark Furman from the OJ trial. Yep, you did. You did. You did. You know it's coming. And he said he was so conflicted by that. Please, please tell us about that.
Okay, the backstory on that. So... I went out for an interview in LA from Arizona with, I can't remember, it was Extra or Entertainment Weekly or one of those shows. They said, come out, we're looking for a reporter, fly you out here. So I got out there, and my assignment for the interview was to interview Mark Furman. He had a book coming out. And so I met him at a hotel. The photographer was there. And the guy, the photographer's like, look, you're only going to get 3 minutes for these interviews. It's a round robin. Yeah, literally 3 minutes. Like he comes in 3 minutes with you, 3 minutes with the next. Da, da, da. I'm like, wow, really? Like that sucks. What am I going to ask him in 3 minutes? So anyways, he sits down. We've got this like thing going. The 3 minute interview goes like 30 minutes long. And afterwards he's like, hey, you want to grab lunch? I'm like, oh, okay. It's mm-hmm. Mark Furman. I mean, like what journalist doesn't want to sit across from Mark Furman and kind of probe inside his mind? Mm-hmm. So I go to lunch with Mark Furman. My interview's done. I send it off and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so he's like, so how long are you in town? What are you doing tonight? He ends up wanting to meet up with me and my friends for drinks that night.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Sure. Sean happened to be one of the people I was meeting with, and the whole rest is history.
Yeah. Tammy, wait a minute.
Yes.
I didn't hear you use this word. You had a couple of dates with Mark Furman.
That was not a date. Tammy thought it was trying to plant that one.
Yeah.
No, Rob. He asked her out on a date. Now, as a journalist, no, I know she's going for the story.
Tammy is a journalist, T-Bird.
I was
she's
going to
crack the OJ case.
Informational lunch.
Yes.
I'm saying Mark Furman looked at this beautiful... Lunch. He looked at this beautiful hot woman. He asked her out for him. For him,
Are you implying that Mark Furman doesn't have the utmost scruples, T-Bird?
No, I'm starting rumors, T-Bird.
Right, Sean did say that it was a really funny moment between us, that he was still thinking to himself that he needed to wear a body cam for meeting Mark Furman. That's what he told me, Tammy.
Yeah.
Well, you know how the night ended? Mark Furman ended up going to a sorority party with my brother.
Oh my God.
Who was there that night? They went to a fraternity or sorority party, something like that. It was like the oddest evening ever, oddest day ever.
Rob and Tammy, are you guys kidding me right now? Y'all don't see that Mark Furman was trying to edge his way into Tammy's life. He asked her out. He asked her out for drinks. Then he tried to get in with her brother. Come on. Come on, you guys.
You cracked this case wide open, T-Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Tammy, how do you stay in shape? Yeah, if you don't mind me saying at 50. I can see you. You are
because
absolutely
you do like
stunning.
Marathons and have done like all sorts of like athletic competitions, right?
Oh, my triathlon days are over. I haven't done a triathlon in quite a while. I did do Ironman. That's been a while. I don't know. I like to work out. I like to run and cycle and, you know, do yoga. And I have a Peloton here. So that's fun to me. It's a release.
Now, didn't you and Gina do something together a few years back? Was it a?
Oh, we did Malibu Triathlon. That was okay. That was years ago. Yeah,
Gina was in incredible shape as well.
Oh yeah, that was like 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but yes, we did that. That was fun.
What do you do to relax? Because you do such, you know,
besides the Peloton.
Yeah. What do you do just to relax your mind down? What's your idea of a vacation?
Well, I'm actually heading to Africa when I'm done with the book tour.
Like you, T-Bird. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. So that'll be, I finish the book tour and 2 days later I leave for Africa. So that'll be a well-deserved break.
Are you going on the road for the book tour or is it virtual?
I leave tomorrow.
Okay.
My first stop is Phoenix.
Yes.
And then New York City, Chicago, and Seattle. And then the last stop is back here in Santa Barbara.
Wow.
All places that I have connections to that I've lived, you know.
Not the Marquesa.
No, not the Marquesa.
Yeah. Well, this was great.
Rob.
Yeah.
No, stop, Rob. No, more, please. Not yet.
Okay,
not yet.
All right.
Yet.
Sounded like we were wrapping up. No?
3 years to get her. Three.
So all right, fire away.
I got a lot of bottled up questions here. So, Tammy, what is your strongest characteristic and what is your weakest characteristic?
My strongest characteristic is that I don't take no for an answer.
Neither does T-Bird.
My weakest characteristic is that I don't take no for an answer.
Oh, Tammy, I love that. That is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. What is the favorite country that you've visited? Your favorite country? Although, have you been to Africa yet?
I have been. Okay. You know, I loved Lebanon because I was there covering a story that was really, really close to my heart. I was right at the Syria-Lebanon border back when Syria was kind of blowing up back then. And I was there with some doctors from Chicago who were over there volunteering their time to do surgeries on children that had escaped from Syria and that had come to Lebanon and that were living in camps over there that needed medical procedures. And so that was a story that I tried to do for years, very personal to me. So I loved it there.
All right, so I know you've just finished the book, getting ready to go on tour, take some time off, and then you've got another book you're working on. Do you have any more investigative journalism, any subjects that you really, really want to cover that's been on your mind for a few years?
Yes, but I'm not ready to talk about them. A journalist always has stories brewing that they want to do.
T-Bird, what's your book going to be?
Ooh, T-Bird has a book?
No, T-Bird not doesn't yet. Have a book. No, Rob, T-Bird, no.
Come on.
Rob, it was so cute. I, again, tried to talk to Tammy, and again, I thought she was just incredibly fascinating before I even knew about all this about her.
Can you tell finally, the process, T-Bird? How did you get Tammy? Was it a series of handwritten letters? Like, this is like how Tammy...
Smoke signals.
Yeah.
How many times
did you reach out to Tammy?
Well, I think I first reached out to her when we were doing somebody to give me a comment about him. And then I thought, oh my gosh, Tammy would be fascinating. Mm-hmm. So it was in, it was almost 3 years ago when I said, Tammy, would you be interested in this and that? And she was always so kind. And I followed up with her about every 6 months to a year. And she'd say, no, but if I ever do one, blah, blah. And then she actually ended up sending me a message, and it was pretty cute. You can only imagine how excited I was. She said, what did she say? She said, you know, would you still, do you still want to interview me, or have you gone on to bigger fish? I'm like, my God. I'm like, Tammy, you are bigger fish, and yes, mm-hmm. we want you. So Tammy, as soon as I mentioned to Rob, he was like, that's our premiere. You are our premiere talking with T-Bird. Season 4, Tammy. You're starting it off. You're starting it off.
Well, I was so excited too, Tammy, because I, you know, when we played in my season of Survivor, you know, you all had just been on the show, and it was like, oh my God, like these are the real survivors. Like, who are we? And so it was like really cool getting to watch you in the real time. I think the only that unless I missed you at our finale, I feel like the only time I ever met you in person was, I remember that they had the 10-year anniversary party, and yep. like I had just like parked in the parking lot, and you had gone with like to dinner with the other Marquesas people, and I met you for like a split second there, and I was so excited to get to meet you in person. But I really was thrilled when T-Bird said that you were up for doing this.
You have a great memory. That is the only time that we met. And I mean, I know you because T-Bird's always singing mm-hmm. your praises. But yeah, you're right. It's the only time.
From that Marquesas group, I remember like I was like, oh, like they all went to dinner. Like that's so cool that they are like stayed in touch. But that was after only 10 years. Was there anybody from the show that you kept in touch with after all these years?
You know, I think 6 months ago, we all did a Zoom. A mm-hmm. lot of us did, like maybe 10 of us. And that was the first time I had talked to a lot of them in a while.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, people will float into my life and out of my life. And so it's been nice occasionally catching up with them. Facebook, text, that type of thing.
Yeah. We know how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Tammy, I cannot thank you enough for doing this.
You guys are amazing. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Let's get Tammy. All the information out for the book, just so people know the right places to go. Where do you want people to go to check out the book, Tammy?
Okay, so Don't Say a Thing. It's what it's called.
No, you have to. Okay.
No. I know. Don't Say a Thing. It comes out June 1st.
Yes.
And you can buy it on Amazon.
Okay. Easy
enough. Tammy. Very easy. All right. So Tammy, who I wanted to ask you as far as like the news people, you know how the news people have a sign off, like Lester Holt, David Muir, Nora Dahl, they have a sign off, a sign off. Yes. So I know, like I said, you've got a long way. You've got a lot bigger things you're still going to do. What would be your sign off?
For your show or?
For your show. What's going to be your sign off?
Oh gosh. This is Tamara Leitner. Until next time, I'll be bringing you the whole story.
Yes! That's great! That's great! So you said Tamara. I was wondering if it was Tamara or Tamara. It is.
Well, Tamara. When I lived in New York and I was working at a TV station out there, they decided that Tammy Leitner wasn't very sexy, and they decided Tamara Leitner, my real name, wasn't interesting enough. And so they changed my name to Tamara.
Oh, they did call you Tamara.
They called me Tamara. Yeah. But no, it's Tamara.
Okay. Tammy Leitner, thank you so much. I'm in awe. I'm in awe of you. Thank you.
Yeah. You guys are the greatest. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Tammy. And this was really, really fun. And all the best with the book and the book tour and everything outside of what we're talking about.
Oh, thanks, Rob. Thanks, T-Bird. Thanks, hug. Tammy. You guys are great.
Thanks for all amazing work you're doing, Tammy. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right, T-Bird. There you have it. Tamara Leitner. I've been saying Leitner for 22 years.
Well, I think when I talked with Sam, he said it too, but I'm a German speaker, so EI is how I thought Leitner. So I could have easily said it wrong, but
yeah, no,
well,
you said it right. She said it. Yeah. Anyway. But then now I know how to say all her names. I feel like her show should be called Leitner Tamara Action.
That is absolutely perfect. Get that to her, because I got a feeling we're going to see a lot
get
more
the merch.
Out of her.
Get the merch.
Rob, she was, you know, I really think.
Well, she's a pro.
Like I said, she's a pro, and she's got, even she was coming up with things that she didn't remember from years back. I mean, she's so interesting because of the work she's done. And kind of like you had mentioned during the podcast about how true crime has just rocketed.
Exploded. In podcasts. Yeah.
It really has. And I've always been fascinated with it for some reason years back. So I'm kind of not surprised, but it's why you can talk to her and hear what she's done. And she's really a very, very interesting person. So I'm so happy that we had her on and that the listeners can learn more about her. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, those are the best Talking with T-Bird episodes, where you have somebody who we know from Survivor, but they have a lot of stuff that they've done outside of Survivor and stories we haven't heard before. And so that's the beauty of what you bring, T-Bird. That's why the people love Talking with T-Bird.
Rob, thank you. That's so sweet. But Rob, this is I've said this, and I know it. There's so much more to most of our guests, to all these Survivor players, than them just playing Survivor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really fascinating to get to learn about them and know what they've done or what got them there. And again, Tammy played at 29. And again, she was really mature and well on her way. Mm-hmm. Even before she played. So it was interesting to know how all that came about for her playing. And then also interesting to know how her journalism background affected the way she played, as far as being buttoned up and not opening herself up. So, you know, she's I've really wanted her own for a long time. So what a great Talking with T-Bird premiere, Tammy Leitner.
Yep, we did it. Okay. All right. More to come. We got all summer, T-Bird.
I know it's a little disappointing when Survivor ends, but hopefully we can help.
No, people are excited when Survivor ends because they see it's Talking with T-Bird season.
Well, Rob, okay, that's really funny. Mm-hmm. But hopefully we can help kind of bridge the gap between going from 44 to 45. And also, Rob, another thing, people aren't going to have Big Brother. Big Brother's not going to start until what, August 1st?
August 2nd.
Or August 2nd. Well, why are they waiting until August 2nd?
Well, there's a writer's strike.
Oh, I think I heard about that.
Yes. Okay. So I think that they feel like that, okay, they're really in the hole for fall TV. And so I think that they feel like, okay, well, how do we stretch Big Brother from the summer into the fall?
Well, just add another month to it.
I think they kind of did. I think it's going to be like 100 days.
Oh, my goodness. So what is that going to take us to Christmas?
Thanksgiving.
Is it going to take us
to Thanksgiving?
Wow. Okay. All right, then.
Yeah. So it's going to go from the dog days of summer to basically like the week before Thanksgiving, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
All right. Well, that'll get us through the fall.
Election day. Like, it's going to be.
It's
gonna be a lot. So we'll see. All right, T-Bird. What else do you have coming up?
Well, I don't want to give out too much, but I guess I'm going to. Our next, hopefully, Talk with T-Bird has also written a book.
This is the book tour. This is where the authors go. Yeah,
that's right. Their first stop. Tammy starts traveling tomorrow, but their first stop on the book tour is RHAP. Talking with T-Bird with Robin T-Bird.
That has to happen.
Yeah. It has to happen, Rob. So, yes, our next guest has also written a book. That's just a little clue. So we'll see what else is in store after that.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for checking out another edition of Talking with T-Bird. Of course, that you can listen to us in our dedicated Talking with T-Bird feed, which you could hear all the 50-plus Talking with T-Bird interviews that we've done. Go to robiswebsite.com/T-Bird feed for that. And until next time, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.